D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. Normally, we would have Teron Davenport of ESPN.com at 4 o'clock, but he was on with Jake Lyman on Next Man Up this morning, so we will have Teron Davenport on tomorrow. Time TBD. But we will have Teron Davenport, just not right now, as we usually do on Mondays at 4 o'clock. But when we do have Teron Davenport, he is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. So the Tennessee Titans, they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 29-7. Who cares? Score doesn't matter. It's preseason. Cam Ward, 5 for 8, passing 67 yards, a passer rating of 89.1. And one thing that was incredibly encouraging on Saturday in the two series we saw from the starting offense, Derek Mason, was that Cam Ward has developed some chemistry with Calvin Ridley. Remember at this time last year, we were talking about how Will Levis and Calvin Ridley could not get on the same page. Well, on that second drive, Cam Ward had 3 completions to Calvin Ridley for 50 yards with a long of 27. All 3 targets to Calvin Ridley were caught by Calvin Ridley. That is an incredibly encouraging sign. I want to talk to Derek about the passes that Cam Ward made to Calvin Ridley. But, Derek, just to see Calvin Ridley and Cam Ward on the same page, considering how much of an issue it seemed to be last year for Will Levis and Calvin Ridley, that was an encouraging takeaway for me from Saturday.
Yeah, it was, because last year this was sort of the talking point in camp. And so much so that I was surprised that people were saying, well, they'll get it together. And even Calvin Ridley was saying, we'll be fine. And I'm thinking like, no, you're not. That's not – it doesn't happen that way. And Calvin knows it better than anybody. It doesn't – if you're missing – like that consistently, then the timing isn't down. Now, whether it's the quarterback's fault or that's a whole different issue. But the timing wasn't there. You see the timing here, it's gotten better. It didn't start off great, and I didn't expect it to start off great, because Cam is still getting used to everybody, their speed, their body movements, and everything else. But it has gotten a lot better. We've seen connections. I'm going to go back to the last practice here in the 7-on-7 and the 2-minute. Cam Ward hit, was hitting Calvin Ridley down the field. It was pinpoint passes to Calvin Ridley. I think he and Calvin Ridley are building a bond, which they are going to need. I went through this same thing. This is why I could speak on this so intently. I went through the same thing with Joe Flacco. He needs a Calvin Ridley. Meaning Cam Ward. He needs a guy like Calvin Ridley. He needs a guy that's going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. He needs a guy that can catch the ball. He needs the guy that's going to make that play when the play it needs to be made. And Calvin seems to be more comfortable in offense this year than he was last year. So they need to continue to work on their chemistry, because he's going to be his go-to guy. Make no mistake about it, because as much as I like Van Jefferson, and as much as I think, Lockett still has something in him, unfortunately, when people look at the Titans, unless those young guys start to really push those, people look at the Titans receiving core as just okay.
It's old.
It's old and it's okay. But even with that, they have an opportunity to go out there and prove them wrong. And so I'm not going to sit here and say that this is a bad group. It's not enough guys that have proven outside of Ridley and Lockett. I know Van Jefferson has been in the league 6 years, but it's been up and down with him. If they don't find someone else outside of Calvin Ridley, it's going to be hard for their offense in the passing game. But make no mistake about it, he's going to be Cam Ward's number one option.
I'm looking back through the Bengals blueprint. Joe Burrow struggled. The team struggled his first year. Then they got him, Ja'Marr Chase, the next year, and they were much more in a position to win.
Yeah, because they only had one guy. They had not Green. I was about to say AJ Green, but what's the kid?
I'm not even sure. They had Tyler Boyd.
Yeah,
I guess.
No, Tyler Boyd and
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins was there. T. Higgins got there a year before, I believe.
Okay, well, let's look. Let's take a look at Joe Burrow's receivers the first year as opposed to the second. But that would be a good.
Yeah,
still a good analogy.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah,
You have something, right? Uh-huh. My biggest concern is surrounding Cam Ward to where they can shield him from just going off the rails, having no help whatsoever. It's a thin roster, and we can't get around that. That 29-7, as you said, the score doesn't matter, but they were badly outplayed as a roster by a team that didn't play their starters at all. So it shows you that they got a long way to go in supporting Cam Ward while Cam Ward develops, and hopefully he can then mask issues on a roster, right? You hope that he can get to that point where he's picking up the rest of the roster. But right now he needs support. And so I think the receivers hopefully can mesh well and be more than the sum of the parts because they need more than what they have right now. But in the future years, that's when you try to get him a Ja'Marr Chase type of guy.
So I don't think this is Willie Donick texting in, but here's a text that sounds just like what Willie just said. From one texter, Cam did just fine. What concerns me most is our depth or lack thereof. I have zero confidence that our backup quarterbacks can lead the team if Ward gets injured or needs to rest. Our backups could not put up points or get off the field against the Bucs backups. I hope it's just early and we will see improvement, but I have little faith that any of our depth can step up and compete against starters when their number is called, whether a starter is injured or not.
Well, this is what I said about this roster. If they have to go 23 deep, if they have to go past 22 or 23 players, there's going to be it's like falling off a cliff with their roster. And they understand that because you have a bunch of guys that are on that other side that that's not proven, that have had enough snaps. Can they be good? Yeah, they can, but they just haven't had. This is a roster that is depleted of talent. It's young, but it's depleted of talent. The top end is older. So you're right when you call in or say, yeah, I'm worried about the Titans. The Titans are worried about the Titans.
Yes, they are, because everybody gets guys hurt, too. Mm-hmm. That's the scary part about Snead. Who knows when Snead's going to play? Like, it was very ominous that what they were saying on the Zoom yesterday is like, I'm not quite sure. Like, they're hoping Christian Berry could be ready for week one, but they're not sure. But these are the things that by the time November rolls around in December, a thin roster usually gets exposed, and now you're really going to have trouble surrounding Cam Ward with the support he needs. The 2020 Bengals had Tyler Boyd, I would say, in his prime, 26 years old. They had a very young T. Higgins at 21 years old. My goodness.
Yeah.
He's only 21. And he had a good year. And they did have an aging A.J. Green who still could provide some support. So they did have something around Joe Burrow as a rookie, and they weren't a very good team.
I found this interesting on Pro Football Focus. They do recaps of every preseason game, what to watch for. You guys tell me what you think about what they wrote about the wide receivers. Quote, the three veterans played the entire first quarter, meaning Ridley, Lockett, and Jefferson. Mm-hmm. The three veterans played the entire first quarter, and the two rookies, DK and Iamanner, worked in a little bit during the end of Cam Ward's time in the game. The team largely stayed in 11 personnel. Jefferson was the X receiver, Ridley was the Z, and Lockett aligned in the slot. All three primarily played the Z receiver role with their respective teams last season, but this was their most likely usage based on their past. When the team moved to 12 personnel, Ridley and Jefferson were the two receivers. Two of Iamanner's snaps came as the lone receiver in 13 personnel, while another two were in Ridley's place. DK's one snap was in Lockett's place. Once the backups entered the game, Iamanner continued to primarily play the Z receiver role, and DK was in the slot, while Bryce Oliver became the new X receiver. While many thought Jefferson would be the most likely veteran of the three to get benched, he is also the veteran who has the least competition from a rookie, based on how they lined up. We should see the two rookies play some snaps each week, but it might be some time before one of the rookies starts in this offense.
I mean, and I understand, you know, what was written about him, and it's right. I mean, this receiving core, the top three guys, they have experience. the top two guys have a lot of experience. But then behind that, they really have no experience. You got James Porche, who's been a journeyman, so to speak. Mason Kinsey, who hasn't cracked, you know, the opening day roster many times or the roster many times. You got Bryce Oliver, who can play, but just, you know, his chances are slim. Jaquan Jackson seemed to fell out of favor with the team. Restrepo, that 4'8 is going to haunt him forever. Matt Landers is another guy that 6'5, you may be able to get some out of him. TJ Sheffield, nothing. So I gave you all of those names to tell you, behind those top three, you have nothing, no one that has proven themselves. Not to say that they can't. I want people to understand
that,
too.
Right, you got to hope that you find
exactly
something there.
But right now, they don't have, and they may, if no one really, because they're hoping these two rookies, at least one of them, that they really step out in preseason so they can go into the first game of the season with these guys on an opening day roster, which they both will be, but the guys that are going to be active on a Sunday. You can be on the opening day roster, but they may not have you active. So these guys, one of the two, I'm talking about the young guys, they have to prove themselves, and maybe the coaching staff may have to go out of their way to give them more snaps with Cam Ward.
One texter says, DK had some encouraging moments. Aya Manor was nearly invisible and didn't seem to be able to get separation regardless of who was throwing the ball to him. Going to need more. Derek, do you agree with that?
Yeah, they're going to need more. It's plain and simple. But
would you
again,
say he was unable to get separation?
I wouldn't say that.
He looks a little slow to me, Aya Manor. At least he did. But honestly, the whole team did on Saturday. It looked like they had trouble with the footing. Mm-hmm. The whole defense looked a step slower than
the
Bucks.
Well, there were concerns about the field condition.
Yes.
I know that might be an excuse.
The Bucks didn't have a whole lot of problem with
that. That is fair.
But I do think DK looks quicker to me.
Mm-hmm. DK is the faster of the two, I believe. That's the kid out of Florida.
If I recall correctly, yeah. DK ran one of the fastest 40s at the combine.
Fastest out of the two. So you can't compare those two guys because one guy, I think, ran like a 4'3".
They're very different styles, right?
Yeah, they're different styles. They got to find a way.
DK ran a 4.34
at
the combine.
Yeah, so he's pretty fast. So they just got to find a way to get these young guys some more snaps, whether it be in the game or in practice, more so in practice, so you know what they can handle once they get in the game. I don't think you can throw them out there and give them 40 snaps in the game and you haven't put them in, you know, in those situations in practice. So I hope to see more of these two young guys and some more of Bryce Oliver and Jaquan Jackson. I thought James Porche has done okay, but how far the depth chart is he going to go?
I'll throw this out, what we threw out last week. If by the end of the year, or hopefully towards the middle of the year, either DK or Aya Manor could pass either Jefferson Lockett.
And that's what they're hoping.
That's what you want, right? That's what you want. You hope that Lockett, who is not anything, he's not a long-term solution. You're hoping that Lockett is a steady vet that can be the placeholder until you get something better there. Same with Van Jefferson, even though he's a little younger. He's 29. He could be on the team for a little bit. He's not super expensive. But you hope that you can upgrade there. So you hope those guys are placeholders, and you hope that, like, realistically, are they both going to shoot past those guys? Probably not. Yeah. They're fourth-round picks, right? If they were first-round picks, you'd have a higher expectation. But if one of them could break through, that would be a start. And really, that's the what you're looking for throughout the roster.
By the way, Aya Manor ran a 4.44 40, which is actually faster than they anticipated. So DK was a 4.34. Aya Manor was a 4.
But as
4-4.
D Mace will tell you, the 40 time at this point really does not mean much. It's can you play quick? Can you get open? Do you look
play
quick
fast?
Yeah.
Do you play fast? And they're just hoping that one of these young players, I know they would prefer Aya Manor or DK. But they're going to have to start, you know, see what they got in Jaquan Jackson, Bryce Oliver. Because, again, I think James Porche will make this roster unless this thing goes sideways for him. Because he's a good return guy. He had a good return. I know it was a penalty, but he had a good return in the game. But how far up the depth chart as far as receivers will he go? Maybe your four, more than likely your five, because he's on special teams. They need someone that they can give 30 plays to, and we're not talking about just run plays.
Josh on our text line says, Gunnar Helm, tight end one. Well, Chigakonkwo played every snap with the starters, so Chigakonkwo, at least for now, firmly in tight end one. I don't know how I feel about that, but Chigakonkwo looks to have the starting job. By the way, Josh Wiley, I don't think Josh Wiley is going to be on this roster when the – there's no first cut down, right? Now there's just one cut down.
No, I think they do it all in one swoop.
Right. So I don't think Josh Wiley is going to be on this roster right now. I think he's behind David Martin Robinson. Jordan in Nashville says three things. Cam looked good, but it's only two drives, so let's see more and hope. Okay, let me start that again. Blah. Three things. One, Cam looked good, but it's only two drives, so let's see more and hope it still looks promising. Hey, I think that's a measured take, Jordan. Good for you. Two, the Titans need another legitimate proven running back to go with Pollard. Not mad at Spears, but he can't stay on the field and isn't giving enough to prove his worth, in my opinion. Hold that thought, Jordan, because that's what we're going to talk about next. Three, this might be spoilers, but will you all be talking about the bad play of the defense? The secondary looked horrendous and nothing that impressed on the edge. We also will be talking about the defense. But we will talk about Jordan's point number two, Tajay Spears. We will do that next. Tajay Spears suffered a high ankle sprain in the loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
High ankle sprain.
Yeah, no good. But yet another injury for Tajay Spears. Can the Titans trust Tajay Spears, who is out for the remainder of the preseason? We will discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinetics' Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at RockTheCradleNashville.org. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, The Game. By the way, one texter suggests that we change the name of our show from D-Maze, Fingin, and Donick to Dustin versus Dustin, which is DVD. Yeah.
Let's go. Dustin on Dustin crime.
I want to know if the two Dustins from Hopkinsville have run into each other at one point. I don't know.
Do they know each other?
I don't know how big Hopkinsville is. I'm sorry to say that they've never been to Hopkinsville. I'd be happy to go there sometime. I don't know if it's a big place and you can easily run into the other Dustin. I don't know how many Dustins from Hopkinsville there are, but they both listen to our show. So
I'm
you
sure
know
they know each other.
You know what, Dustin and Dustin, we appreciate both of you, even if you can't agree on the Tennessee Titans. So, as we said before the break, Tajay Spears is expected to be out for a few weeks, according to Brian Callahan. Suffered a high ankle sprain during the loss to the Buccaneers on Saturday. He will not play for the remainder of the preseason. As our friend Teron Davenport notes, Spears missed five games last season because of two concussions, an ankle sprain, and a hamstring injury. So, a injury-riddled season for Tajay Spears. The Titans have been talking about, even before training camp, in the offseason, about how they wanted Tajay Spears to take some of the carries away from Tony Pollard to have a more balanced rushing attack. But color me skeptical, Willie, that can happen, considering Tajay Spears can't stay on the field.
It's a shame. We've talked about these guys through the years, whether you go back to, and maybe this guy should give you a little bit of hope, but you remember your teammate Chris Brown,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Who was Eddie George's backup. He had that reputation for a while, and unfortunately, Tajay Spears has got a ways to go before he gets to Chris Brown production, because Brown was able to have some good years, but it always seemed like he was battling something. But more recently, Farley, you know, Caleb Farley never got on the field. You know, we have talked about Treylon Burks ad nauseum, but unfortunately, it looks like Tajay Spears is getting into this category. Just doesn't have the body that's cut out to play in this league and withstand the rigors. And you can see why they drafted him, even though they knew he had some question marks with his health, right? Remember the whole thing when he was drafted and they were like, do you have an ACL? And he was like, my knees are fine. Do you have an ACL?
No.
Oh, no, I, My knees are fine. My knees are fine. Here's but he just and it's not been the knee, right? It's been something else. And now a high ankle sprain, that's the worst thing.
Those are tough. Those are tough.
Because he is a cutter. He's an elusive guy that makes people miss, works in space. But that's the that injury lingers. The high ankle sprain lingers. So even when he can get on the field, he's going to be affected by that for weeks after he's even able to function out there. That is not good at all.
By the way, this is back from a few years ago. On CBSSports.com, Ian Rappaport reported on the NFL Network that Tajay Spears suffered two torn ACLs in his past. At the NFL Combine, test revealed a full-thickness cartilage loss and no ACL in his knee. Additionally, Spears has arthritis. Rappaport says it's unclear how long he will be able to play in the NFL and even openly wondered if Spears could be a quote-unquote one-contract guy.
Well, that was – but ironically, it hasn't been that. That's got him, right? It's other stuff.
It's been a hamstring, concussion, and ankle. Yep.
Yeah, it's you know, he's missed in each of his past two seasons prior to this one. He's missed time.
He appeared in every game as a rookie.
Yeah.
He missed five games last season, right?
But as a running back, you can't – if you're not available with a team that likes running a football, then even with your skill set you're going to have the coaching staff, you know, forgetting about you. They are, because as good of a player you may be or you have shown yourself to be at times, the one thing you haven't shown yourself to be is healthy all the time. And at that position, you're going to get nicked up. But can you play through it? Now, I'm not saying he can play through a high ankle sprain, but he's had way too many injuries for the Titans not to have a secondary plan for their backup running back behind Pollard, because, you know, I expect it, and I still do expect, you know, good things from Tajay Spears this year. But if he can't stay on the field, he can't help the team.
By the way, according to Sharp Football Analysis, I don't know when this was updated, the best running back free agents: Gus Edwards, Zach Moss, Jamal Williams, Ezekiel Elliott, Deontay Foreman, among others. Yes. So they are out there. Here's something I found interesting on Pro Football Focus. The Titans have made minimal investments at running back outside of Pollard and Spears, as sixth-round rookie Khalil Mullings, who is 5'2", according to the Titans broadcast. He's the third string back.
That was graphically, right? Yes. Just to protect the announcers, because I'm sensitive to this, right? Yes. It wasn't something they said.
No. Is this a graphic?
There was a graphic that said Khalil Mullings, 5'2". So behind Pollard and Spears is Khalil Mullings, who is not 5'2". When Spears missed four games in the middle of the season, Pollard saw his playing time increase from 60 to 67% of Tennessee's offensive snaps in most games to 82 to 94% of the offensive snaps. He ran the ball at least 16 times in each of those games, including two blowout losses. So the Titans say that Tajay Spears will be ready. Well, they say he won't play in the preseason. They hope that he's ready for the start of the regular season. But
okay, so let's get to the decision here, because unless they bring in one of these guys, which I don't know, what do you think, D-Mace? Because I think we all agree Tony Pollard, even in his best years, was better suited to be one of two, right? He really flourished.
He broke out with the Cowboys that
way. Alongside of Ezekiel Elliott, right? Mm-hmm. So you, especially now where he is in his career, he's not a 300 carry guy. You want an assist with him. Can Julius Chestnut or one of these other guys be good enough to be that guy? Because I think at this point you can't count on Spears being there, even if he's healthy enough to come back at some point.
No, you can't. I mean, listen, the problem here is that they got a skill set that they covet that only one person at that position has: Tajay Spears. He's the only person that has what you covet. Tony Pollard doesn't even have it. And Tony Pollard's a really good runner.
Which is what?
Catching the ball out the backfield, being able to line you up at slot, posing a mismatch, you know, for the linebackers or the safeties. Things that some other teams may have that I think this offense needs, they have it, but they have it in the one guy that can't stay healthy. I think Julius Chestnut is a good player. I think he's one of these guys that he may be on your roster for the next 3 years because he's a really good special teams player, and if you put him in the game, he can get you those tough yards. He looked good this past weekend. But Chestnut doesn't bring that element that you need in your offense. The only guy that brings it is Tajay Spears. The problem is he's always hurt. So now they're going to have to go out and get somebody else that can fill that void because he made that a high ankle sprain. No telling when he's going to be back to full. He may not be back to full go, his filling himself until like the first game of the second game of the season. Probably even right. After that.
And you still worry that something
exactly.
else will come up.
Something else yeah. may happen. So if they want this type of player in their offense, they're going to have to go out and get that player just in case Tajay Spears can't go the whole season.
One texter says, Ron says, I thought he, meaning Spears, would be more like a CJ Spiller type.
Yeah, but he can't give that to him when he's not on the field. Now, listen, when the kid is going, he's good. We've seen it. He's a good player. But if you can't stay on the field, just because you're a good player ain't doing nothing for me. If you can't stay on the field, I can't use you. I don't care how good you are. That skill set that we need on offense, you can't give it to us because you're always injured. So we're going to have to go out and get somebody, and it may cost you your job. Seriously.
One texter suggests the Titans bring in Zach Moss. Zach Moss was released by the Bengals a couple of weeks ago. He started training camp on the non-football injury list after suffering a season-ending neck injury last season. In 8 games last season, he rushed for 242 yards and 2 touchdowns while splitting reps with Chase Brown. But Zach Moss had his breakout season with the Indianapolis Colts 2 years ago, had 183 carries for 794 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. He actually had 27 receptions for 192 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he was released because he has a neck injury.
Yeah.
So I would stay away from replacing.
We need to see the medicals.
Yes.
We need to see the medicals. But he has had a certain amount of production in the league, and he's 28, right? He will be 28 during the season. He'll turn 28 in December. So
well, that's that neck injury. Nope. Mm-mm. Don't want to touch it. See you later.
Not even a tryout.
Go
take the physical.
Prove to somebody else you can play, and then we'll pick you up the next season.
But it is a skill set from what I know about Moss, and I don't know that much, but I've seen him play. Right, we've been around the league. Is it somewhat similar to Spears? Like, could he complement Pollard in that respect? In a perfect world,
I have not even.
But you're exchanging one set of medicals for another set.
And I know Moss because obviously what he did to the Tennessee Titans. He ran crazy over the Titans, didn't he? In that one game, I think he did. He ran crazy over,
and I'll
he didn't even catch. He didn't even catch the football. So I don't remember him as a pass catcher.
Yeah, the one really long run, right? The one
back-breaking
run.
Exactly. I don't remember anything out of the ordinary.
23 carries for 165 yards.
There you
and
go.
2 touchdowns.
He blitzed them. So he didn't do anything. I don't think in a pass game. So I think about him more so running a football, which they have Julius Chestnut if they want another power back, but. Because they have essentially 3 power backs and one guy that can be versatile, that one guy that is versatile is always hurt.
That was the game that Anthony Richardson got hurt early in the game, and the Titans were not able to win with Minshew in there. That was a very frustrating afternoon.
To say the least.
One texter back to our tight end conversation says, Chick is going to be way better without Levis throwing at his heels and the hot chick in the third row. Helm is still going to be the next Kelsey/Gronk in the NFL, though.
Oh
man.
I hope so.
Scorching
really
hot
do.
Take. My computer is overheating reading that text message from that texter.
I hope so.
It is hot outside, but even that is a scorching, scorching hot take. But yeah, when it comes to Tajay Spears, it's unfortunate because I think he has shown promise in a limited role, but that high ankle sprain. If it was just a normal ankle sprain, you're like, yeah, you know, that's fine. Tape it up, put some ice on it. But high ankle sprain, no matter the sport, if you have a high ankle sprain, even when you're clear to play, you're not.
Still
not right.
It happened to Ryan Tannehill when they were 7-3. and then famously did not win again. And in the midst of that, John Robinson lost his job. That's what he had. And he came back early.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to play on it. He wasn't the same. Yeah. And it just, it was a nightmare.
Tajay Spears, he's this type of player are players you just hate. Not like hate him, but you hate the player like this that has so much talent. And when he's on the field, he's showing you that he can be a vital part. But then when you go back to your office and you're getting ready to write up plays for him, the trainer comes in and says, he's not available this week. And you look at all this stuff you done wasted 35, 40 minutes, maybe even an hour on, and you know, like, damn, I ain't going to be able to use none of this. Those are the type of players you just don't like because you see that it's like you're salivating over using it, but you can't use it because it's always broke.
So I'm thinking about those old cartoons when they used to put the pie on the windowsill and the smoke, the aroma from the pie used to find the cartoon character who would flutter up to the pie, but then the pie would be taken. So Tajay Spears is the pie?
Yes, basically.
Is the pie. One texter says, get Breece Hall from the Jets. I mean, I wish. I'm a huge Breece Hall fan.
Oh, my goodness.
I wish, yeah. I don't think the Jets are.
How does he propose you get Breece Hall from the Jets?
Let us know. 6-1.
Please explain.
You got an inside on that one?
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com with the news that Tajay Spears is injured again with a high ankle sprain. Should the Titans look around at free agent running backs? Should they hope and pray that Tajay Spears will be fine in just a number of weeks? Do you trust Khalil Mullings despite the fact that he might be 5'2", which he's not? 615.
Is Mullings ahead of Julius Chestnut, do we think?
That's a good question.
No, he can't be.
If you played a game on Sunday, Chestnut would be
Chestnut.
The compliment to Pollard for now, right?
Yes.
At least, I don't know. Like, I want to see more of Mullings. But, you know, we've seen Chestnut for a while now.
I like Chestnut.
It's not bad.
I think Chestnut's a good player.
We've seen a lot of no-name running backs. if you have a scheme that can block a little bit, a decent runner can do a job for you.
Deontay Foreman was, I would call a no-name. Who was the other one?
Well, once upon a time, I don't think I had heard of Deontre Foreman. He ran the ball pretty well for the...
Who was the other one they had around that same time? It wasn't Deontay Foreman. It was...
Well, they had another guy. It was another Deontre... Oh, no, I knew. I couldn't think of him. I'll think of it.
Eno.
Number 40...
Dontrell Hilliard.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
But Hilliard and Foreman together.
He was more of the Tajay Spears.
Yeah.
Hilliard was more of the Tajay Spears.
More of a receiver, quicker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on that. But also, I just have to ask this very important question. Is the Titans defense going to stink again? We'll talk about that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving at 1025. The game. That was Brian Callahan yesterday after digesting the film and finding out that his rush defense is still bad. I appreciate him telling it like it is. Let me just remind all of you again how historically inept the Titans defense was last season. We brought this number out last week. We're going to do it again.
Is it really inept? Like, do we want to go there? Like,
is it not inept?
It's an anomaly.
Okay. Anomaly.
Like, one side of the stats is not inept.
Okay. Anomaly.
Right?
Okay. That's
fair. Okay, but let's hear out the stat and then
okay.
We'll decide.
Teams that finished an NFL season with a bottom three scoring defense and a top three total defense, because the Titans, off the top of my head, finished second in the NFL in yards allowed per game, but 30th in the NFL in points allowed per game. Here are the other teams. So, of course, the 2024 Tennessee Titans, the 1960 Chicago Bears, when I believe there were 13 teams in the NFL, so a bit easier to do in 1960. The 1955 Pittsburgh Steelers, and my favorite, the 1943 Steagles. That's right. You heard it correctly. The Steagles. That's when Philadelphia and Pittsburgh combined in 1943 to field a team because a lot of their players were off fighting in World War II.
Well, there you go.
So that is the company. Anomaly is a good word, Willie. That is the company the Titans defense keeps by having a bottom three scoring defense and a top three total defense in the same season.
Okay, so we know they had issues last year in the red zone. We know they were given a tough draw by the offense a lot of short fields. And they did not always do a great job of holding the field goals, right? But so there are reasons why they gave up so few yards, but let's give them some credit for having some. But they also did not cause a lot of turnovers. I'm laughing because how many times did Charles Davis, he likes to call it, Denard Wilson calls it an extraction, not a turnover, right? If they said that once, they must have said it seven times. And then they finally got a turnover at the end of the game, and they were very excited.
Sounds personal. He has an extraction.
Yes.
TMI, Charles Davis.
So, okay, the 178 yards. This was a theme of the night. Even if they got backed up by a 10-yard holding penalty, they just come back and run it again. They got anything they wanted. So let's start with not having Sweat and Simmons in there. How much of that is it, and how much of it are you concerned about, D-Mace?
That's what it – I mean, again, you're right. 167 yards is 167 yards.
You're giving them too much credit. It was 178.
Oh, it's 178. Excuse me. But I would – tend to lean on a side of if Jeff and Tavondre Sweat had played, it probably wouldn't have been 167 yards. Depending on how long they played, would depend on, you know, what Callahan was thinking. Maybe
like they
in the
did
second
rack
game.
Up a bunch of them in the fourth quarter
exactly.
against
so,
the guys that really aren't going to be on
so,
the team.
Again,
right?
People, this is the mistake that I think sometimes we all make, is you look at the number but don't look at the context. I know it's, say, 170-something yards, but look at the context of it, okay? One, they didn't have Jeffrey Simmons or T-Sweat. Two, a lot of these yardage were late in the game, third, fourth stringers. It's going to happen. Am I concerned about their rush defense? Yes, because it was poor last year. But I'm not going to sit here and say, if they would have did this and Sweat and Simmons was on the field, okay, we got a major problem. Even if they gassed them for a few runs, we got some problems, and hopefully it gets better the next game. But they had neither one of those guys, and a bulk of this was done in the fourth quarter. Just people take that into – just look at the whole picture and not just like – a microcosm of what's going on. The number looks bad. I get it. But I want to see those numbers when Jeff and Sweat is out there together. Because I guarantee you, if they play next week, which I expect them to play at least one of them, and while they're in the game, the running game isn't effective, that's what I'm going by. I'm not going by what the Titans get in the third quarter or the fourth. I mean, what the opposing team gets in the third or the fourth quarter. I want to know how much they're rushing for when my two studs are in the middle of the field.
Now, to be fair, the Titans did give up 335 rushing yards to the Indianapolis Colts last season. They gave up 267 rushing yards to the Washington Commanders and 207 yards, albeit in Week 18, against the Houston Texans. They allowed at least 150 rushing yards five times last season to the Colts, Commanders, Texans, Packers, and Lions.
And that's what. And that's what that. If they got to play better, if they would have came out, if those two guys were on the field and they were still having the same problems that they had last year, I just said for 2 or 3 minutes, I would be concerned. But those two guys are not in there. So when they come back and I see them planning games, if things don't change, then yeah, we all should be concerned, because since they put a shovel in that dirt over there in 1996 or 95 when they started to build that stadium, this organization was built on one of two things: running a football down your throat and stopping the run. So, with that being said, last year was a disappointment. If I see it this year with those two guys on the field, then, yeah, there is some cause for concern there.
I was hoping to see somebody jump out at me. I'm not as worried about the stats because I think a big chunk, but you know, in fairness, in the first half they got ran out pretty well. There were several times where they looked slow. Whoever was on the corner or setting the edge was not doing a good job.
Got
beat around the edge. I don't know if it was particularly him. I did think Oladejo looked mobile to me. He was around the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to see more. I just was hoping to see somebody flash with a great individual pass rush or a jump in there for a tackle for loss or make a play. And I didn't see that very much. So I'm not excited, especially when I hear, okay, I don't know if Snead's going to be playing anytime soon. There's just a lot of we know they're probably going to have to bring extra guys to get heat on the quarterback. So I don't know. There's a lot of big question marks here. I'm looking for improvement from last year to this year, but I'm not sure.
One texter, by the way, my text line is not loading, but I do remember the text, and I will paraphrase it. Back to our conversation about Tajay Spears. The texter noted that a lot of running backs with similar playing styles to Tajay Spears have history of injuries. I believe the texter mentioned Saquon Barkley, mentioned Alvin Kamara, mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. How much do you factor that in, the playing style, to the amount of injuries that Tajay Spears has endured in his young NFL career?
I think those three backs, even though they have similar sort of attributes, they are totally different because the kid out of New Orleans is
Kamara.
He's a much complete back. I love Saquon Barkley, and Saquon is great. But when you're just talking about a complete back, I can't put Saquon out on an edge like I can put Kamara, because Kamara's really – he's like a wide receiver slash running back. He's the only guy that really falls into that category, because the other two don't, even though they can catch the ball out the back. They don't do it like him. He does it the way they used him in New Orleans. It was totally different than the way Saquon has been used and the way Ezekiel Elliott was used. I believe that truly opened him up to more injuries.
The texter also mentioned Christian McCaffrey as well.
Yeah, see, Christian McCaffrey, I would say those two guys, he and Kamara, are more closely comparable than the other two. And you see Christian McCaffrey, the same thing. When you throw a running back out there, and not only is he your primary runner, or he's taking at least, you know, more than half of the snaps, but also is giving you, you're expecting 60 catches from, that wears on you.
Yeah, but those guys, I don't know how we even compare. He's comparing Spears to these guys. These guys are workload kind of guys.
Saying they're the type of player they are, meaning they can
I have
not
the
only they can run
right.
from the backfield, but they can
catch
passes.
But all those guys are guys who have been great multi-purpose guys who have put up big, big years. Tajay Spears hasn't even been able to show that he can stay on the field in a complimentary role.
But these guys have been hurt, too.
Well, now that they have the text, the texter said, do you think it's just that style of play that constantly gets him injured? I mean, I know we're talking about Spears, but McCaffrey, Saquon, Zeke, and Kamara all have history with injuries and are all similar style runners.
And that's why I say it's the style. It's not necessarily that you are that player
right.
or you have that It's the style of play. That's why I consider Kamara and McCaffrey more so of the same style than Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon, even though those two guys still can catch the ball out the backfield. But really, there's some of the things you can do with those two, you can't do with the others.
One texter wants to know, what's going on with Sweat? Well, he had a tonsillectomy, apparently.
Did you guys ever have your tonsils out?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Brady Bunch when Cindy Brady had to have the tonsils out?
Probably. I've also never had my wisdom teeth extracted.
You did?
Speaking of
extractions.
I've never had my wisdom teeth.
I had two.
I had them all pulled.
You know what that means? It means I have a big mouth. 615-737-1025.
Has anybody had their tonsils? Because they said the meatloaf, maybe somebody can text in.
He can't have meatloaf anymore.
Well, I think that's part of it, right?
For a week.
Cindy Brady had to have the ice cream.
Right.
But basically, he's not going to play this week, right? There's another week where he hasn't practiced yet.
Yeah.
Are we worried about that at all?
He had an abdominal injury, I believe.
Yes.
And now he's got the tonsillectomy on top of the ab injury.
So No meatloaf this week.
We haven't seen our favorite R&B duo.
The opportunity for somebody to stop the run. Somebody.
We haven't seen our, as coined by Derek, we have not seen our favorite R&B duo, Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat, on the field, coming to a Hopkinsville casino near you. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, in what was billed by the Wall Street Journal as the most meaningful, meaningless NFL game ever, let's talk a little Shedeur Sanders. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.